Acharya, Ashutosh Ashutosh Shri Maharaj Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Rupa Ariki, Raja Granta Shima Bhagavatam Ki, Samvita Bhaktivinindiki, Hidai Gopinandi. All glories to the Summon of Bodies, all glories to the Summon of Bodies, all glories to the Summon of Bodies, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tulayamala Venapi Naswater Kam Napunar Bhavam Bhagavat Sangi Sangasya Martya Nam Kimutashishaha Tulayamala Venapi Naswater Kam Napunar Bhavam Bhagavat Sangi Sangasya Martyanam Kimutashishaha. Hare Krishna. Mothers. Matyanam kimuta shishaha Tulayama. We compare Lavena with a moment, even even na not swargam attainment of the heavenly planets na not apuna bhavam merging into the Brahman effulgence Bhagavat of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Sanghi with associates Sangasya of association Maritanam of persons who are destined to die Kim Uta how much less Ashishaha benedictions. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation, even a moment's association with a pure devotee cannot be compared to being transferred to heavenly planets or even merging to the Brahman effulgence and complete liberation. For living entities who are destined to give up the body and die, association with pure devotees is the highest benediction. Purport, the great saint Prabodhananda Saraswati, a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, has stated, Kalvaryam narakayate tridashapur akasha pushpayate. For a pure devotee, Kaivalya, merging into the existence of Brahman, the Brahman effulgence, is no better than living in hell. Similarly, he considers promotion to heavenly planets, tridashapur, just another kind of phantasmagoria. In other words, a pure devotee does not place much value in the destination of the karmis, the heavenly planets, or in the destination of the ganis, merging into the Brahman effulgence. A pure devotee considers a moment's association with another pure devotee to be far superior to residing in a heavenly planet or merging into the Brahman effulgence. The topmost benediction for those who are living in this material world and are subjected to the repetition of birth and death, transmigration, is association with pure devotees. One should search out such pure devotees and remain with them. That will make one completely happy, even though living within the material world. This Krishna consciousness movement is started for that purpose. A person who is overly affected materially may take advantage of this movement and become intimately associated with it. In this way, the confused and frustrated inhabitants of this material world may find the highest happiness in association with devotees. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Agyanta Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Malabhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Panchakalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Devacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So yesterday's verse, the Prachetas taught us what prayer we should offer. There's always a question of what type of prayers we should offer. We don't know how to pray, so we have to learn from other advanced devotees how to pray. And they taught us what prayer we should offer to the Supreme Lord. They said, Brahmama iha karma bihi, that we're wandering all over this universe due to the reactions of our fruitive activities. And the reason we're doing this is because our consciousness is contaminated. Mayaya sprishta. Our consciousness is contaminated for desire for material enjoyment. So, considering the situation, there's only one prayer I can offer. Tavat bhavat prasanganam sangasya nobhavebhave. There's only one prayer that is worth offering, that I can have the association of your loving devotees and whichever body I may get due to the reactions of my karma. No one knows what type of body they're going to get. Although we're devotees of the Lord, we like to, presuppose that we're going to get another human form. But we should always consider that Bharat Maharaj was on the platform of Bhav Bhakti, which is the stage before Prema, and even he got a deer body as a result of his material attachment. So what to speak of us? Anything can happen. So there are no guarantees in this material world, And the devotees acknowledge that point. So there are only one benediction that can be prayed for is that I can get the association of your loving devotees and whichever species that I may take birth after birth. So then that is the prayer we should offer. We should offer that prayer. And then they explain why they're offering that prayer in this verse. This verse is also quoted in the first canto by the sages of Naimisharanya when they were glorifying Sutta Goswami for speaking the Bhagavatam to them. They mentioned that we gathered here in this place of pilgrimage for doing 1,000-year yajna sacrifice, kind of like Karmakandya. But the only result we're getting from that yajna is black smoke in our faces. This is the only result. Nothing auspicious coming. Just black smoke in my face is coming. But now you are kindly showering the nectar of the topics of Govinda. So therefore you are a true well-wisher. And then they also quote this verse, Tulayama Lave Napi, Naswargana Punarbhavam. We would not compare even a moment's association to the attainment of the heavenly regions or to the attainment of liberation, but to speak of the perishable things, benedictions that are possible in this world. So why we should offer the prayer for the devotee association? Because even a moment's association can render one's life successful. Sadhu sangha, sarva shashri koi, lava mantra sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoi. That even a moment's association with sadhu, all the shastras agree with this point. Sarva shashri koi means all the scriptures accept this point. The scriptures have various disagreements sometimes on particular points. But on this point, all the shastras agree that by a moment's association with devotees, lava mantra, sadhu sangi, sarva siddhi hoi, all the perfections can be achieved. That means spiritual perfection is also that can be achieved by even a moment's association with devotees. One may try to calculate materially how that is possible because a moment is described as 1/11th of a second. So one may say, how in 1/11th of a second? Sarva siddhi hoi, all the perfections can be achieved in 1/11th of a second. It depends on how you take it to heart. If you can take to heart in that one moment of association with a devotee, if taken to heart, then the seed of all perfection is there. The seed of all perfection is there if taken to the heart. There's one story that always touched me that Srila Iyengar Prabhu used to tell, that he didn't have much association with Srila Prabhupada. But once when Srila Prabhupada came to Washington, D.C., he somehow or other was selected to lead the kirtan. So when there was tons of devotees coming, and Srila Iyengar Prabhu was playing the mridanga, and he was standing just to the side of Srila Prabhupada. And he said he wasn't a very good mridanga player, he tells, and he was screaming his lungs out, for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada. Anyway, I don't want to imitate. Maybe if I do, it can keep everyone attentive. So he was screaming his lungs out, and then he said Srila Prabhupada looked at him, and then Srila Prabhupada said, Jai. And that was it. That was the only thing Srila Prabhupada ever told Iyengar Prabhu, actually, he tells. He said, but I took that Jai so seriously that I figured that was his, because that Jai came in relationship to the activity that I was doing. And that activity he happened to be doing was Harinam Sankirtan. So he said, if there's nothing I can do to please Srila Prabhupada, at least I know for a fact that by doing Harinam Sankirtan, I can get a Jai out of Srila Prabhupada. So therefore, he took that as a seed of perfection. Of course, he took that, as they say, all the way to the bank, as the bank of the spiritual world. He, started the 24-hour kirtan party. Practically by his influence alone, he made kirtan such an important aspect of the movement worldwide. And after devotees knew of his spiritual influence, both with senior devotees and rascals also. He had influence with everyone. But when he left the body, the amount of things that flooded the internet immediately after his departure was astounding. So I share that story because it was a moment of association with Srila Prabhupada. He didn't get much association. But in that moment's association, he took it so much to heart. Just that jai. That jai took so much to heart that he was able to bring his life to a profound spiritual platform just by taking that one moment of association to heart. So it is possible that even in a moment's association, the seed of perfection is available. But it depends on our attitude, our receptive attitude. Then everything is available. This sadhu sangha is most important thing. The human form of life is very rarely attained. Durlabha manava janma means the human form of life is very rarely attained. There's a nice verse Prabhupada quotes, Ladva sudurlabhamidham bahusam bhavante manusham artadama nityam api hadhira turyam yateta nabate anumritu yavan nisheya saya vishayakulu sarvatasyat. After many, many births, one is able to obtain the rarely obtained human form of life. And this human form of life, manusham anityam, it is temporary. Anyone noticing the body decaying? So it is not that it is not like any other. Other bodies are also decaying. Human form of life is also decaying. Anityam, it is temporary. But it is arthadam. Arthadam means it can bestow on one the highest benediction, this human form of life. Therefore, those who are apihadhira, those who are sober, living in this world, apiha means in this world, if they are sober, dhira, thoughtful, intelligent persons, then turyam yateta napate anumritu yavan, then they very quickly take to the path of Krishna consciousness without delay. Sometimes we're thinking about our spiritual progress in like super long term, you know, okay, this year I'll chant 2 rounds, next year I'll move from 3. Like sometimes like Prahlad Narasimha Prabhu said, how many rounds are you chanting? You know, then he says, 8 rounds. How old are you? 8. So we also do like that. Today I am, you know, 5 years old, so I'll chant 5 rounds like that. Or since I've only been practicing spiritual life for 1 year, 1 round, and then next year 2 rounds like that. One may be thinking so long term, thinking, let me get my material life together and then I'll get really serious about spiritual life when I'm 50. Many Indians told me this. I was trying to preach to one Indian boy many years ago. And I said, why don't you read Bhagavad Gita? He said, definitely I'll read Bhagavad Gita. I was like feeling very confident. I said, my preaching is having effect. Then I said, when will you read Bhagavad Gita? When I am 50. What is this? Someone is thinking like, that means not sober person. One who is sober, who is thoughtful person, intelligent person, then immediately he takes to Krishna consciousness. Why? Because the body is anumrityam. The body is always subject to death and may fall down and die at any moment. At any moment it may fall down and die. Therefore, intelligent persons say, because of the precarious situation, I should immediately take to the Nishreya Saya, the most auspicious path of Krishna consciousness, right away. Kalu Vishaya Sarvatasya, as far as sense gratification is concerned, everyone is getting sense gratification. Why? We should go for that. Even a house fly has a very busy sex life. This is what comes in the commentary. Therefore, they're having so many children. You know, in one day, they may have hundreds of children also. I don't know. I'm not going to go research also. But in one day, so many hundreds of children may come. So they have very active sex life. A human being is thinking himself very successful if he has a very active sex life nowadays because of the mode of passionate ignorance. But even a housefly has a very active of sex life. The hogs and dogs are also having a lot of sex life. The monkeys also. So if we're going for that, then how are we better than houseflies, monkeys, hogs, dogs? No better than houseflies. No better than hog and dog. If we're going for something that is available for them also. You're supposed to go for something that's not available to the hogs. Try to understand the logic. If you're working really hard for the same thing that is easily available for hogs, how is that intelligent? Working very hard, 12 hours a day, you know, sitting under the computer, and another such thing, sitting in a chair, walking around here and there, and calling it a job. For what purpose you are doing? For simply sex life. And the hog, he is also wanting sex life. What does he do? He just walks over and gets his sex life finished. So if we are working very hard for something that is easily available to the hogs, that is not a very intelligent person. We should work for that which is not available to the hogs and dogs and houseflies. What is that that is not available to the hogs, dogs, and houseflies? Yeah, development of Krishna consciousness. You ever seen any hogs gather together for Bhagavad Katha? You ever seen like that? Any houseflies gather together? Today from Srimad Bhagavatam we are reading. No, so that is not, because it's not possible in that life form, only in the human life form. So this verse says, so long as the body has not fallen down and died, we should take to this Krishna consciousness immediately. Don't delay. Start today. You know, get serious. So this is the value of the rarely obtained human form of life. But more rare than obtaining the human form of life Durlabo, manusho deho dehinam kshanabhanguraha, tachapri dulabhamanye vaikunta priyadarshanam. More rare than the human form of life. What is more rare than, this is spoken by King Videha, then the Navayogendra suddenly appeared in the sky and descended upon him. He glorified their kindness upon him. And then he said this thing, the human form of life is very rarely attained. Chanabhanguraha, any moment it may drop dead also. But tatapri durlabhamanye, I think that there's something more rare than that. What is that something more rare than that? Vaikuntha priya darshanam, the darshan of devotees of the Lord. That is more rare than obtaining the human form of life. He says this. So human form of life is so rarely obtained, but more rare than attaining a human form of life is obtaining the darshan of devotees of the Lord, pure devotees of the Lord. That is most rare thing. Actually, to see devotees is not so rarely obtained, but to take darshan of them is rarely obtained. Understand my point? Because unless one is endowed with the proper service attitude, he does not actually see devotees, right? Ata Shri Krishna Madi Nabavegraham Indriyai Sevamukhi Jivado Swayam Evasparatyadaha. We say this verse all the time, that by the material blunt senses, no one is able to understand the transcendental region. Because it's just like if you try to cut a vegetable with a blunt knife, you'll not be able to do it. You hurt yourself. You hurt yourself, actually, right? Sometimes the knives downstairs are a little blunt. You try, and then it slips, and you can hurt yourself easily. So with a material blunt senses, no one can understand transcendence. So how will I be able to understand it then? Sevamukh jihwado. By sevamukh means the favorable service disposition toward the transcendence, towards the transcendental knowledge, by the favorable subordinate service mentality towards that transcendental region, then a spurti will come. Spurti means a vision. Then you can be able to take vision. So to actually see devotees is not, that is also rare, but that is not so rare as actually taking darshan of them. Because in order to take darshan of devotees, there needs to be sufficient sevamukh. Sevamukhi jihwado. So then the beginning of the service mentality manifests itself with the tongue, jihwado. Jihwado means the tongue. We normally hear chanting Hare Krishna, taking Krishna prasadam, and also glorifying the devotees. The seva mukh begins with glorification of that sangha. Because kirtan is so powerful. What does kirtan mean? Kirtan means to remove misconceptions. That's what kirtan means. And it takes all the various energies of the human form in order to do kirtan, to do real kirtan. All the human energies will be engaged. Just like when you do japa, the mental energy is generally not properly engaged. Improperly engaged during japa time, isn't it? And the sensual energy also may not be properly engaged. Of course, tongue is chanting, hands are touching japa mala, but our tongue is really longing for burfi. It happens like that. Before, when you don't know, but before we would be in a temple, Gokul Prabhu would make burfi sweets. And the whole japa period, we would be waiting for the burfis to come out. They would come out in the middle of japa period. Japa period was like from 5 to 7, because our Mangalarti was at 4:15 that time. So around 5:30, the burfi sweets would come out. So when the burfi sweets would come out, everyone's... Then one by one, you would see devotees getting up, walking over. Okay, just one devotee is walking. Then two devotees walk over. Then three devotees walk. Then you say, okay, I better go before it gets going. So although chanting Hare Krishna, tongue is wanting to taste burfi sweet. So since it means the sensual energy, during japa period, sensual energy also, but when you have to do kirtan, when you have to glorify, you have to explain what is the glories of devotees, you have to speak their glories, all the energies have to be engaged. The mental energy gets engaged, the intellectual energy gets engaged, the sensual energy is engaged in that glorification. Therefore, kirtan is considered the most powerful process. Both for those who are perfected and those who are sadhakas, the most powerful process is kirtan. Of course, highest form of kirtan is congregational chanting of the holy names. But also, chanting of the holy names of devotees and their glories is also considered kirtan. Srila Prabhupada has taught this thing.
that one can even chant the names of devotees. That should not be your japa session, of course, as such. But even if one chants the names of devotees, Prabhupada has taught this thing in the fourth canto. I have the reference upstairs. I don't remember. In fourth canto, he's taught this thing. That even if one chants the names of devotees, one can get purified, supremely purified. So, sevamukhi jivado, the service inclination towards the transcendental region, which includes sadhus, begins with the tongue, glorification of sadhus. Then that time we can take darshan of them because we have the proper service attitude. So therefore, King Videha has told this point. Human form of life is very rarely obtained, but more rare than that is actually taking darshan of a devotee. It's very hard to see devotees because of one who too strongly identifies with the material concept of life, thinking himself this body, thinking himself this mind and false ego, then he'll never be able to see devotees. There's only one hope for seeing devotees. It is by culturing the service attitude. By such a culture, one can begin to actually appreciate the opportunity one is getting in the association of devotees. So here it is mentioned that the Prachetra is saying, we will not compare such association even to the attainment of Swargaloka, the heavenly regions. Why is that? It is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam by King Rahugana. I was looking at this verse this morning. I don't think I would be able to remember. It's such a nice verse. But he was explaining there also, Aho nirjanmakila janmashobhanam, that this human form of life, of all the forms of life that can be obtained, this human form of life is most auspicious. Akila sarva, akila janma shobhanam. Shobha means auspiciousness. Of all the forms of life that one can obtain, near deham, this human form of life is most auspicious. Kim janma bhis chaparayar apyamushmin. What is the use of getting a birth in a higher species, like the heavenly regions or demigod? What is the use of getting such a body in the heavenly regions? So why would say, why you say like that? Why are you saying like that? Naya jishi kesha yasho kritatmanam mahatmanam va prachura samangama. He says in the heavenly regions there's abundant comforts of life. Abundant sense gratification is available in Swargaloka. Especially even for sex life, anyway, we should not discuss so detailed, but it is mentioned that when they do sex life, many months pass in their sex life. One may think, oh, that sounds very attractive in the conditioned soul and too much passion and ignorance. He thinks that sounds very attractive. But King Rahugana, after hearing from Jadabharat, he says, the heavenly regions is abundant comforts. Therefore, there isn't abundant hearing of the glories of Hrishikesha, Hrishikesha Yasha. The glories, the fame of Hrishikesha is not told so much there. Well, why is it not told so much there? Then he gives the reason, kritatmanam mahatmanam vaprachura sumangamaha, because the pure devotees don't like to go there. He tells his point. Because the pure devotees don't like to go to Swargaloka. Therefore, Swargaloka I consider to be a vacant place. Because the reason the glories of Hrishikesha are not so much sung there as much as material sense gratification is done there is because the pure devotees don't like to go to Swargaloka. But they like to reside here on this earth planet. And the association of devotees is abundantly available here on this earth planet. Therefore, this human form of life is most auspicious form of life. Why is it auspicious? Only because of this point. Because the association of devotees is more readily available in the human form of life than in life in the heavenly regions. And in the attainment of liberation, there's no question of personality. There's no question of hearing the glories of the Lord. Therefore, as Prabhupada is quoting here, devotees consider such attainment no better than hell. Kaivalyam narakayate. They consider the attainment of Kaivalya, merging into the Supreme Lord, you know, in personal bliss like this. They consider that to be no better than the attainment of hell. Why? Because they would not get a chance to hear about Krishna's glories. And Krishna's glories are so sweet that if you were to multiply the happiness of the Brahman platform trillions and trillions of times, it will not equal even a drop of the nectar obtained in hearing about Krishna. That verse is there for that also. I don't remember that verse. So, na swargam na punarbhavam. Therefore, why we will aspire for swargaloka or for merging to the supreme? Gokulananda Prabhu told me there was one devotee in Argentina. He said he wanted to attain apsara lok. Apsara lok is the place where the heavenly damsels are residing. So he said he was chanting Hare Krishna, but he said, my desire is to obtain apsara lok. This is when the guru needs to give a stick. Beat some sense into the person. In apsara loka, the pure devotees definitely don't go. That time, no one will be able to hear Hare Katha. Hare Katha will be going on, and everyone will be looking at the apsaras. Oh, yes, yes, nice. Yeah, nice thing you're speaking. So this human form of life is the most auspicious form of life because it is considered most auspicious because of the opportunity to associate with devotees. So how fortunate we are to have the association of devotees. One may say, well, Srila Prabhupada has told this point in the purport that a pure devotee is always happy in the association of another pure devotee. So then this will become the point of contention. Who are the pure devotees? I don't see any pure devotees. Anyone sees any pure devotees? I see a bunch of neophytes going around thinking they're practicing Krishna consciousness. Where are the pure devotees available? This is the dilemma of the conditioned souls, that they cannot see. Unless I'm able to see the pure devotees, then I consider there are no pure devotees, as if I have power to see pure devotion. This is the dilemma of the conditioned soul. So to that point, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is giving commentary on this. He says, I would not even consider the full benefit of swargaloka, the full benefit of karma, which is swarga, and the full benefit of gyan, which is liberation, I would not consider that even to be any way more significant than a moment's association with a sadhaka. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur offers a purport to this verse in the first canto, though, not in the third, in this canto, in the first canto. If I were to take the full benefit of karma and the full benefit of gyan, which is swarga and liberation respectively, I would not consider that to be more valuable than a moment's association with a sadhaka, a practicing devotee. Then what to speak of long-term association with the sadhaka, and what to speak of one who has bhava, and what to speak of one who has prema. That's the commentary that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives. So he is expressing his gratitude even for the association of a sadhaka. Why? Because at least he's agreed to try to turn his face towards Krishna. That is the most glorious thing. Most glorious thing. Because who is there willing to turn their face towards Krishna in this material world? Everyone is so much captured by material sense gratification that as soon as you say the name of Krishna, they become agitated in the mind. So the sadhaka, he is having so many faults, and anarthas are there, so many anarthas, asat Krishna, thirst for material sense gratification, hridaya durbalyam, weakness of heart, that which should not be done, he does. That's what he should do, he does not do, weakness of heart. Aparad, these are the various anarthas of sadhaka's conditioned souls. But they've agreed to turn their face towards Krishna. And that one quality is sufficient to dismiss all the other qualities, all the other bad qualities. That one quality, Krishna considers that. Just like when we speak a sentence, sometimes you want to give someone some feedback, and you speak all the glorious things first, and then you say, but. And that but just wiped out whatever you just said, and whatever you're about to say after the but is what you really want to say. Yeah, you were really good. That was a great discussion and nice quality, and you were very beautifully describing everything. But, and once that but comes, everything just got wiped out, and then whatever you're about to say is the real thing. So in the same way, a sadhaka may have so many bad qualities, but he's agreeing to turn his face towards Krishna, therefore he's considered glorious in the eyes of Krishna. Serious sadhaka, he's considered glorious. How much value is the association of even practicing devotees? It cannot be compared to attainment of swarga, to the attainment of liberation. Therefore, our Vaishnavacharyas have sung the glories of the association of devotees so much. Vaishnava Thakura Pada, Avunera Susampada, Shunabhai, hana ekamana. Please hear attentively. My dear brother, Shunabhai. Shunabhai means my brother. You please hear attentively. Vaishnava Thakurapada Avunerasu Sampada. That this association of the Vaishnavas is the greatest wealth one can obtain in this world. Susampada means the greatest wealth one can obtain is this association of devotees. Just like you don't want someone to take away your wealth, that would be a very scary thing. You don't like, your heart will feel very much pain if someone takes away your wealth. In the same way, the association of devotees is the supreme wealth. So if anyone shall take away that wealth, then how one should be feeling so much pain? That's if he understands that he has wealth. That is the main problem, dilemma. If we don't understand we have wealth, but if you understand this is the greatest wealth, then how much pain the heart will be in if someone were to take away your wealth? It would be a great wealth. Ashrayalaya bhaje, tare Krishna nahitaje, are sabha, what is that? Are sabha mare akarana. That if you take shelter of the devotees of Krishna, Ashrayalaya bhaje, and then you perform bhajana kriya, shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, padasevanam, etc., after taking shelter of devotees, then Krishna will never forsake you. He will never forsake such a person. One who takes shelter of his devotees and then does sadhana bhakti, bhajan kriya, hearing, chanting, etc., Krishna will never forsake such a person. All others die uselessly. Narottam Das Thakur says, very heavy point, all others die uselessly. What is that? Sabha mare akarana. All other persons die uselessly. He makes this point. Vaishnava charana renu bhushana kariyatanu jahai hoite anubhavahai. Manjuna hai bhajana sarusange inukshana agyana avidya parajai. Narottam Das Thakur also plays this verse. That if I were to shout the dust, Vaishnava charana renu, the dust of the Vaishnavas is extremely powerful. Bhushana kariyatanu means it is my only ornament that I'm wearing. We like wearing many ornaments to attract the opposite sex, usually, or same sex, as it were. You wear earrings and so many decorations. The Matajis wear their saris in a very attractive way. The Prabhus make sure the dhoti, the pleats are very nice. Everything looks nice. For ornament, they try to ornament the body to become attractive. Narottam Das Thakur says, my only ornament is the dust of the lotus feet of devotees. That means in a literal sense, and it also means, according to our acharyas, it means they are bathing themselves in the dust of their knowledge and in their character. Shila Shiksha, the character and the knowledge given by devotees, they bathing themselves in that dust also. That is their only ornament. Jaya hoite anubhavahai. By doing so, great realizations in Krishna consciousness come. Marjana hai bhajana saru sangha nukshana avidya agyana parajai. If one shall constantly keep himself in the association of devotees, sadhu sangha anukshana, constantly keep himself in the association of devotees, then what is the result? Marjana hai bhajana, one's worship of Krishna, bhajan, becomes cleansed. Marjana becomes cleansed of all tendency for offense, becomes cleansed of anarthas, and then he can actually chant Hare Krishna properly. By keeping himself constantly in association with devotees, agyana avidya parajaya, he conquers over ignorance. So this is so many glories, many verses. Time has already gone so much. I only told half the shlokas that I wanted to share that are very beautiful and glorifying devotees. But I don't want to take too much more time because I know it gets boring sometimes. So I come to the other point that I want to make. After hearing so many glories of the devotees, then who is that foolish person who rejects such association? Who is that fool that will reject such association? Only a meat eater, a butcher, or one who is killer of his own soul. Only that fool. Only one who is a killer of his own soul will be so foolish after hearing so many glories of the devotees will reject such association. Granted, we are conditioned souls. Therefore, we strongly identify with our mind. And therefore, we're always thinking there is something better than the association of devotees. Like solitude. What does solitude mean? Solitude means the association of Maya. That's what solitude means, especially in the neophyte stage. There's no question of solitude because Maya is all-pervasive. So if you're not associating with devotees, then solitude simply means the association of Maya. Oh, Prabhu, you've come to associate with me. Jai. let's see, what katha should I share with you today? You remember that devotee's fault, this devotee's fault, that devotee's fault? Oh, yes, yes. Nice katha you were sharing, Maya. Solitude simply means the association of Maya. That's the only thing it means. So only a foolish person will reject, a foolish person who is a killer of his own soul, Atmaha, only he will reject the opportunity to associate with devotees. So it is most important thing that there's something we must cultivate in order to make our association with devotees tolerable in the conditioned state of life. Actually, the association is so wonderful, but because we are so much strongly identifying with the material body and mind and false ego, therefore, the instruction given to us by Krishna is you have to learn how to tolerate. Right? What was the first instruction he gave? Dehi no smin yata dehi komaram yovanam jara tatadi hantara prapti dirashtatad muyati. That the body is going through its changes from boyhood to youth to old age. And the soul, Dira, the sober person, he's not bewildered by such a change. He's not bewildered by such a change. It's going in life is going to change, and at the time of death, the soul will go into another situation. Sober person is not bewildered by such a change. Krishna told this point in Bhagavad Gita, right? But then Arjuna will say, I like that philosophy. Very nice philosophy, Krishna. First class philosophy, but I'm still attached to Bhishma, and I still, that's my grandfather, I don't have realization of that. Although that philosophy is very nice, I don't realize that philosophy. So then what did Krishna say to him? Martra sparsha sukonteya shatoshna sukadukada agama panyuno anityas tamtitikshu sabharata. Yes, I know you don't realize that. Therefore, for you, the application is learn how to tolerate the appearance of happiness and distress, the appearance of duality. Oh, I like the devotees today. Oh, I don't like them today. Huh? You need to learn how to tolerate that because you're not a self-realized person. You're identifying with body, mind, ego. Therefore, the instruction Krishna gives for that is learn how to tolerate. So, our acharyas are given very important instructions for us who are too much entrenched in the bodily concept of life, how we need to cultivate our Krishna consciousness in order to gain the strength to not reject our opportunity, our very rare opportunity that we've gained in this rarely obtained human form of life. What is that instruction, nectar instruction? Jishtva sobhava janitaya, vapushashtra doshaya, napakritatvam iha bhakta janasya pasyat, gangam busam nakula bhut budapena pankaya, brahmadravatvam abhagachati nirudharmai. In a book of essential instructions for cultivating Krishna consciousness, Rupa Goswami puts chanting of Hare Krishna as number 7. You would think he would put it as number 1, because Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, we were saying like this. Chanting is so important in the development of Krishna consciousness. Arupa Goswami, in a book of essential instructions for practitioners especially, he's put it as number 7. Number 7. And before that, he's put 6 verses. And right before that, the 7th verse, which glorifies chanting, he puts this verse. Dirstva sabhava janitarva pushas tadoshaya. Don't, na prakritatvam, iha bhakta janashta pasha. Don't see devotees according to their swabhava janitaya and their vapu. That means their psychophysical situation. Right? We judge people very quickly because of their psychology and because of their vapu. Oh, he is a black Vaishnav, a white Vaishnav. Oh, a Chinese Vaishnav has come from Prabhupada's preaching. A Chinese Vaishnav. What does that mean? Vaishnav is Vaishnav. Vaishnav, just like they're one group. I hope this doesn't, I don't want to be offensive. I'm just making a point here. But they started one group called Galva, Gay and Lesbian Vaishnava Association. What is the meaning of that? What is the meaning of that? Gay and Lesbian Vaishnava Association. Vaishnava is Vaishnava. Whether he is gay, straight, black, white, yellow, purple, whichever color he means, Vaishnava is Vaishnava. There's no such thing as gay Vaishnava, straight Vaishnava. It is all illusory energy. But they have started this thing, the Galva. This means illusion is very thick. One time, Srila Bhaktivedanta Maharaj came to Srila Prabhupada and was told, oh, I think your disciples are racist. They're discriminating against me. Bhaktivedanta Maharaj was black body, Swami, for those who don't know. So Srila Prabhupada said, if they are discriminating against you, they are rascals. And if you are getting offended, you are also a rascal. Prabhupada told like that. He said that completely cleared out his whole consciousness in that point. If they're offending you, they're rascals. If you're getting offended, you're also a rascal. Because you are not this body. You're not this body. So there's no question of this type of Vaishnava, that type of Vaishnava. That means you're judging according to the Swabhava Janitaya Nirvapu. Rupa Goswami warns us, don't do that. Otherwise, you'll commit offense and your spiritual life will be finished. Huh? Gangam busam nakalubu buddha pain upon kaya. Brahma dravatam abhigachati niyara dharma. Even the Ganges water, it does not, its spiritual position, Brahma dravatam, means its spiritual position is not spoiled because bubbles and foam are there that look kind of nasty, or stool even, if you see in Ganga sometimes. Its spiritual transcendental position is not spoiled. Ganga, it is not spoiled. Therefore, if you shall see in that way, you commit offense. Therefore, don't see devotees in this way. Otherwise, your spiritual life will be finished. Even if it is a neophyte devotee. Actually, the principle is, even if you criticize non-devotees, you can finish your spiritual life. Excessive criticism destroys everything. But especially when it's directed towards devotees. When directed towards non-devotees, it becomes sinful activity. When directed towards devotees, it becomes aparad. Very dangerous to our spiritual development. Srimad Bhagavatam has warned us, Paraswa bhava karmani, nasham, na prashamsati ninditi, sa ashubhrishate swartar asatya bhiniveshita. The Srimad Bhagavatam has warned us, do not praise, do not criticize. Paraswa bhava karmani, do not praise, do not criticize the swabhava karmani. That means the psychophysical situation of any living entity. Don't praise, don't criticize. Well, why not? It's totally irresistible. I have to admit, I'm kind of hooked. Why should I do? Sadashu brishate swartha. If you do, he, sa means that person who does that, ashu brishate swartha, very quickly he is deviated from his true self-interest. How? Asatya bhiniveshita, by becoming absorbed in the temporary. Because that Vaishnava psychophysical situation is temporary. So if you're excessively praising or criticizing that situation, you're absorbing yourself in asat. And then the result of absorption in asat is another material body. So one who does that, he becomes quickly deviated from his true self-interest, swartha, the real self-interest of the soul, the attainment of Krishna consciousness. Of course, in relationship to devotees, the injunction to not praise is a very light injunction. And the injunction to not criticize is a very grave injunction. Huh? In the story of Ramchandra Puri, this verse is quoted in that chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita. This verse from the Bhagavatam, which I just quoted, is quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And it says that Ramchandra Puri, he took the injunction not to praise very seriously. And the injunction not to criticize, very lightly he took. But it's supposed to be the reverse way. The injunction not to praise is a light injunction. Because by praising the devotees, one can obtain all auspiciousness in this life. That is actually the perfection of the tongue. I don't remember the verse. Akshopalam, I don't remember the verse. When Mahaprabhu saw Sanatana Goswami, he looked like a Muslim mendicant. And he had been traveling many days trying to reach Lord Chaitanya, so he looked very unclean. He had a long beard and long hair, everything. So Mahaprabhu told Chandrasekhar, he was staying in the house of Chandrasekhar, he said, one Vaishnava is sitting outside. Can you go and call that Vaishnava inside? So Chandrasekhar opened the door. And said, Sanatana Goswami was sitting right in front of him. Said, I don't see any Vaishnavas around. So he went back inside. Mahaprabhu, there was no Vaishnava there. And Mahaprabhu said, well, is there anyone sitting outside? He said, yeah, there is one Muslim mendicant sitting outside. So Mahaprabhu said, call him in. So then he called in Sanatana Goswami, and Mahaprabhu started running. Mahaprabhu was in the veranda. I forgot what they called it. Anyway, there's a space in between the actual house and the entrance of the gate. There's like a spaces there. So when Sanatana Goswami walked in the gate, Mahaprabhu was over by the house. He started running, sprinting towards Sanatana Goswami. He forcibly grabbed Sanatana Goswami and began crying excessively. And Sanatana Goswami said, don't touch me, don't touch me. I'm so impure, I'm so contaminated. You are a great, personality. You'll become contaminated. And Mahaprabhu told, I'm touching you just to purify my existence. Because by your devotional service, you'll be able to purify the entire world. Which is a fact. Now Sanatana Goswami is doing that work through the Krishna consciousness movement. And then Mahaprabhu told that actually the perfection of all the senses, Sarvendriya, the perfection of all the senses, can be obtained in relationship to a devotee. Then he quotes one verse, by seeing the devotee, that is perfection of the eyes. By speaking the devotee's glories, that is perfection of the tongue. By touching the devotees, that is perfection of the sense of touch. In this way, by association with devotees, one can actually achieve the perfection of the senses. This is more important than association with Krishna. This is more valuable because Krishna has told this point, Mahaprabhu has told this point, all the Shastras tell this point. More important than the association of Krishna is the association of devotees. Why? I read this point to a few devotees a week ago. The reason is because devotees don't agree to accept any service from Krishna. Because they're perfectly pure servitors of Krishna, they will not agree to accept even a little bit of service from Krishna. Neophyte devotees, we pray to Krishna with the hope that Krishna will serve us. But real devotee, 10% devotee, he does not want to accept any service at all from Krishna. Krishna tries, but the devotee rejects that service also. So when a devotee, another person, shall worship, shall serve that devotee, he's doing something that Krishna could not do. That which Krishna was trying to do was rejected by his devotee. But this other person, he is serving the devotee. Krishna thinks, oh, I wanted to do that. But it was rejected because my devotee is 10% servitor. He would not agree to accept any service from me. It was rejected. But now you are doing that thing which I wanted to do. Therefore, you have become very dear to my heart. So it's an easy way to become dear to Krishna's heart. That is to become a servant of a devotee of Krishna. All perfection can be had in the association of devotees. And I read yesterday, I don't remember the statement, Bhaktisiddhanta said, only those who really have faith in this point can hope to achieve the goal of life. Otherwise, no hope. No hope. Hope is easily had in the Krishna consciousness movement if we can just keep ourselves as a servant of devotees. Then all hope is available. As a servant of a devotee without criticizing, you know, tolerating our identification with the psychophysical egoistic situation that we're entrenched in at the present moment, tolerating that, and keeping our consciousness fixed on service to Vaishnavas, service to Krishna, under the guidance of Vaishnavas, then everything can be obtained. Nothing, there can be no greater boon for persons, Martyanam Kimuta Shishaha, for those who are destined to die. We are all destined to die at any moment. Anu Mrityum, the body is following death. Any moment we may die, so there's only one big benediction for persons who are about to die. That benediction is the association of devotees. So that will be my discussion for today. Anyone wants to ask anything?
Of devotees, and then you were also talking about how oftentimes devotees might say, oh, where are the pure devotees? There's no pure devotees here. I don't see any pure devotees. So I was thinking the opposite side of all of that would be because a person may not be mature in their Krishna consciousness, they take so many devotees to be very pure, and so then they go to so many persons for guidance and for instruction, but because they're not mature in their Krishna consciousness, they're not able to see that maybe this person or these persons are not having that qualification. They are devotees nonetheless, but maybe not so qualified as far as to give guidance. So can you speak about that?
Yeah, means one who is fortunate. That is always mentioned, Yajitraya, Bhagyavan Jiva, who gets the chance to associate with devotees with faith? One who's fortunate. That point cannot be underestimated. In other words, it is very rarely seen that a person can evolve real faith in the association of Krishna and pure association. It's very difficult because you cannot see, you cannot tell. So generally because of insufficient faith, there is a tendency to do the jump around program. And say, oh, everyone is pure. That may be true also. That may also be true. Everyone can be pure, but I'm not pure enough to digest the directions of so many pure persons. So that means generally the intelligent person who wants to remain free from bewilderment should place his faith in one person. But the problem is, because of seeing materially, it is very hard to do so. Therefore, when we hear from devotee, we may take it only as an opinion or a suggestion. And there may be so many other valuable opinions. And in this way, one is not able to place that type of faith. So it's a very fortunate person who can have sufficient faith, even in one person, where there is no necessity as such to go here and there. Not that others are not pure or others are not also even qualified, but there is no necessity as such. Furthermore, as a practical point in development, we may have, suppose we have some very pure personality, like Mahaprabhu as our guru. Mahaprabhu was a guru of, Shiksha Guru, of course, of Raghunath Das Goswami. But Mahaprabhu put Raghunath Das Goswami under the care of Swarup Damodar Goswami. And Raghunath Das relationship, Goswami at that time, relationship with Mahaprabhu was primarily through Swarup Damodar Goswami. So then someone's going to say, well, that was okay because it was Swarup Damodar Goswami. But the point is that if you have real faith in your spiritual master, then if he has put you under the shelter of someone, then your faith in your spiritual master is to follow that shelter he's placed you under. Otherwise, how is your faith in the spiritual master? You think the spiritual master is a fool, foolish person, that he's placed you under some foolish guidance? So some people, they think that they have faith in their guru, but their guru has made a particular arrangement for them. They say, I do not accept that arrangement, but I accept my guru. That is contradictory. There was one such disciple like that, Srila Prabhupada, many of course, but one such disciple, he rejected all the devotees of ISKCON. I don't accept any of the devotees of ISKCON. I will not say the name. So one, Srila Prabhupada went to this devotee, and Srila Prabhupada asked this, do you accept me? He said, yes, Srila Prabhupada, I accept you. And then Srila Prabhupada said, if you accept me, then I'm telling you to accept my the disciples. And then he told, I cannot do that. I cannot do that. I mean, he did not accept Srila Prabhupada. Because it's not so easy. It takes a lot of devotional piety to be able to engender the real faith required to take full shelter. Shraddha and Sharanagati are non-different from one another. One who has real faith can really surrender. So therefore, before Bhajan Kriya, the stage of Bhajan Kriya, what is the stage before Bhajan Kriya? Sadhu Sangha. Why? Because in that association, they will help us to remove so many anarthas so that we can have the real faith that is required to take shelter of Guru, to develop the real faith in Guru's words by which we can follow that. So it is impossible for a bound jiva to really make out who is who is in what position. That is the difficulty of being a conditioned soul. But if he is sincere, there should be a little education. Therefore, sadhu sangha comes before bhajan kriya. There should be, one should give himself enough time to understand things properly and to understand where he's at properly. Sometimes people too quickly, you know, go towards the initiation point and all these things without really understanding where they're at. Sometimes many years are required to get an authentic picture of what's going on with myself. Because in the beginning, everyone's like on the pure devotional program, right? Yes, only 80 years, this is going to be cake. Back home, back to Godhead. And after 5-10 years or less, you see, it's not so easy. So one should give oneself enough time to authenticate his situation, his understanding of the philosophy. And in association of sadhus, they will help us to root out insincerities. And by a sincere heart, Krishna is there in the heart. He knows everyone's heart. Then a jiva can become fortunate. Bhagyavan jiva. But we should not underestimate this Bhagyavan jiva point. Because in discussion of the opportunity to attain the association of devotees in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and also Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is always mentioned this point. One is fortunate who can do that. It is not such an easy thing. So we have to be fortunate. And we can increase our good fortune. We've already come in the Krishna Consciousness Movement. So we can increase our good fortune by increasing our sincere hearing, chanting, and association of devotees. And that way, one can certainly become fortunate. That would be my answer for that. All right. Okay, you can say, and then we have to finish it. I'm going overboard. Yes, he's saying that you can.
Hare Krishna, this is a two-part thing because there's a related theme. So you mentioned this glorification of devotees. Often we are able to glorify or appreciate devotees 1 minute, and the next minute we notice we're finding faults. So it seems that our glorification is not always so
real,
coming from the heart. Same thing with expressions of humility.
There's no question.
But very, very often, you know, we're practicing devotees. So we're practicing, you know, speaking like a humble devotee and maybe thinking like...
No, we should practice following your instructions. There's no reason to imitate speaking like great souls. No need, no, it's because it's all artificial. One derives more benefit by keeping quiet than trying to speak in a humble way. Understand? Without actually feeling that. That doesn't mean we shouldn't speak humbly when spoken to and all these things, and nor does it mean we should not glorify devotees the best we can according to how we're feeling at that moment and so on. But one can derive a lot more benefit by learning to just keep quiet and actually executing the instructions, nectar of instruction, you were mentioning in your class the other day, and getting grounding and the really following those things deeply. And in that way, generate the spirituality by which you can offer a humble speech and real glorification because of purification of the heart. Not simply heart is fully contaminated, our bhajan is very mediocre, and Prabhuji, can I get the dust of your lotus feet? And all these things, it's all artificial. It is artificial. Like I said, it doesn't mean we should not speak humbly. We can try to practice that, but it's more important to practice following the instructions deeply instead of walking around trying to attract attention by your humble speech. Because that's what generally goes on with devotees. They speak their own glory, or they speak in such ways because it draws attention to them. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for is egotism. Huh? I am very fallen, Prabhu. Like one time, Srila Prabhupada, disciple came to Srila Prabhupada, I am the most fallen Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, you are not the most anything. You are simply insignificant. Woo. What? And then immediately the other side comes out, Pranambasura side. Another devotee was going on and on and on and on about how fallen he was. And Srila Prabhupada said, okay, what are you going to do about it? Yeah, on and on and on and on and on about how fallen you are. It's just simply to attract attention. That is the root cause of all the narratives is pratishta. Sanatana Goswami is offered that point at the end of his Hari Bhakti Vilas. So better than trying to, you know, imitate humble speech, all these things, we would do better to just follow the instructions to the best of our ability and gain the spirituality by which these things can come out spontaneously and not artificially. You have a second part to that? Or okay, Hare Krishna. Then this Prabhuji wanted to ask something, then we'll finish.
Prabhu, did you say praising is also not good?
Yes, we clarified that in discussion, that the injunction not to praise is a lighter injunction. You know, it's light. And the injunction not to criticize is grave.
What is the difference between glorifying devotees versus praising devotees?
Oh, no difference. The word is, for me, my understanding of the words, glorifying, praising, is the same. And the idea is that the praise is in relationship to Krishna, in relationship to Guru Parampara. One time, story, short story, there was one sannyasi, I think his name was Swami Atma, and he was associating with devotees, so he was thinking about taking initiation from Srila Prabhupada. But he was just waiting, 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 waiting. He didn't want to take initiation. So one time, Srila Prabhupada came to where he was at in India, and all the devotees were doing the Guru Puja for Srila Prabhupada. And while Guru Puja was going on, Srila Prabhupada was also singing the Guru Puja. So then this Atma Swami got bewildered. So he said, why is Srila Prabhupada also singing? He first asked, are they singing this song, Guru Puja, to him? And the devotee told, yes. Lokanath Maharaj was at that time speaking with this devotee. He said, yes, they're singing in Prabhupada. So he said, why is Prabhupada also singing? Because, you know, our mentality, we're Sri Guru Chaya. Nice, excellent. Then Lokanath Maharaj told, because he is singing to his spiritual master. He is singing to his spiritual master. We are singing to him, and Srila Prabhupada is singing to his spiritual master. And when Atma Swami heard that, he said, put my name on a list. I want to take initiation. So then Lokanath Maharaj said, all this time we're trying to get you to take initiation, now all of a sudden you want to take initiation. Why? And he said, because I can see that when Prabhupada is glorified, he glorifies his spiritual master. Therefore, this will be my spiritual master. He was very much moved by that. So the glory of a devotee is because of his relationship with Guru and Krishna. So when we offer glories to the devotees in order not to cause pain to their heart, we should glorify them in relationship to Guru and Krishna. If we try to glorify them independent of the relationship of Guru and Krishna, then they feel great pain in their heart. They don't like it. They don't like it. Just like these demigod worshippers, they try to worship the demigod without Krishna. And that demigod takes offense because Krishna is their worshipable Lord. So if we want to glorify devotees, we have to glorify them always in relationship to Guru and Krishna. And that way they won't feel pain in their heart. They'll feel great joy. So that is what it means to glorify devotees. So then, if we shall think in that way, it will require a lot more thoughtfulness than the, oh, you said hi to me, therefore you're a glorious devotee, very cheap thing. But if you have to think, how is this devotee really glorious? He's glorious because of his relationship with Guru and Krishna. Due to that relationship, he is glorious. So if I should have to think about that, I can offer a substantial glory to my spiritual master, to my to Krishna, like that. Does that answer? Yeah, I have something else you wanted to say about
Can I ask one more question?
Okay.
You mentioned that sadhu sangha leva matra for a second, even sadhu sangha for even a small period of time. You know what I'm talking?
Yeah.
But the readiness of that person is what makes the difference, right?
Yes. So that's what we said. If in that moment you can take it to heart. So we're very fortunate that many of us may not be able to take it to heart in that moment. So Krishna's provided us so much of Sangha with other practitioners. So we can start to work on getting the heart ready. In other words, we may have a lot of association with devotees, with pure devotees, but because the heart is completely still framed, or because there are holes in the heart, so they're pouring in so much nectar, and all the nectar is spilling out because so many holes are in the heart. So, but as soon as all those holes shall close in the heart, immediately one drop of that nectar can give us all perfection. So we're being blessed with the opportunity of continuous association so we can fix all the holes in the broken clay pot. We can fix all those things. Then even a drop of that association will have immediate superlative impact. So therefore, we are very fortunate to be able to continuously practice devotional service and the association of other devotees. Only a foolish person who is killer of his own soul or a butcher will not be able to appreciate the opportunity. Thank you very much for tolerating me. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. 1, 2, 3.